Let us pray. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself shalt give me must prevail. We ask it in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight from the book of 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 33. These words, and the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Died Abner as a fool dieth. The death of a fool. That's the message this evening. Of course, this is a day when pranks are played on you, and of course, no doubt you will try to get one back on someone else. In fact, this morning, some little lads out of the Sunday school, they were coming out, and I said to them, let's go outside and see this big plane that has just come into the car park. And there they were coming out. In fact, they weren't little lads, they're big lads. One of them's bigger than me, and they all went out into the car park. And then when they're out in the car park, I said, you don't see the plane? They said, no. I said, April Fool. So there you are. They got the prank fed. And I'm not sure if my car will be at the manse tonight or they will have it taken away, whatever. But of course, it is a day for pranks. But here is a very serious question tonight. A very serious question. The lamentation the king of David made over the death of Abner. It is a question, died Abner as a fool dieth? Abner is described here by David in verse 38 as a prince and a great man in Israel. He was a distinguished man as far as battle was concerned. He was the captain of Saul's host, chapter 2, verse 8. He was a disciplined and dedicated man as far as the house of Saul was concerned. Chapter 3, verse 6. Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. He was a man of strength. He was also a man of great strategy. Chapter 3, verse 12 and subsequent verses indicate that. There are many things that commended this man Abner as far as his position and power among men were concerned. He stood out as a man who was most capable. As far as battle was concerned, a force to be reckoned with in the eyes of those who stood with him and also in the eyes of those who stood against him. And yet we read in this context, in verse 27 of the smiting of Abner by Joab, he met his end. The Bible tells us, despite all that he had going for him, we read of his sudden departure from this scene of time. It is possible, as far as this world is concerned, that you may have position. You may have power, you may have popularity, you may have prestige. You may have even great prosperity in this world. You may be even at present enjoying the pleasures of this world. And yet be cut off in a moment of time. For the Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It appears that all is well. And then suddenly, you can be taken out into God's eternity. Is the question posed here so long ago concerning Abner applicable to you tonight on April Fool's Day? The 1st of April 2012. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Died Abner as a fool dieth. I want to speak about four things concerning Abner tonight. First of all, his end. Died Abner. The fact is, this man died. In fact, he was murdered by Joab, according to verse 27. In a very subtle and callous manner, his life was taken away from him. You think of Cain taking Abel's life in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8. And earlier here in the context, Abner had done the same to Asher in 2 Samuel 2:23, the brother of Joab. As far as Abner was concerned, it was a sudden end. Abner's life was taken from him suddenly. And the Bible speaks again and again about sudden death. You remember Belshazzar at the height of his powers, having the carousal in the palace, and suddenly death came. He was weighed in the balances, he was found wanting. And the Bible says in the night when the writing was upon the wall, in that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. Daniel 5 verse 30. Think of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12 verse 20. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. It was a sudden end. And for someone in these pews tonight, it could be a sudden end for you. That ere this night would pass, your soul would pass into God's eternity. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And again the scripture says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In the book of Proverbs, the chapter 24, verses 20 to 22, we read these words. For there shall be no reward to the evil man, the candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both suddenly. Ecclesiastes 9 and 12 says, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. Suddenly. Isaiah 30 verse 13, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. Suddenly. And so we could cite verse after verse, indicating the fact of sudden death. In fact, just prior to the mission we had there in Ballygan with Reverend Morrow, a young man of 47 years of age doing his work in a yard just down the Burn Road, not far from the village. And he was caught in machinery there in that yard. And you can imagine the awful death that that young man had as he was ushered out into God's eternity. Suddenly! And then again during the mission, another young man again in his 40s, suddenly taken out into eternity. And at the end of the mission, just the mission passed there a week or so ago, another young person in Moneyray in their 40s taken out into God's eternity. Suddenly. It was said in the fall of 1972, a train wreck occurred in Mexico in which more than 200 men, women and children were killed and 1,011 were injured. Some survivors underwent amputations in order to be freed from the twisted metal of the coaches, which were piled one upon another. Some entire families perish. The passengers on the train were returning from a trip where they had gone on an annual pilgrimage to pray to St. Francis. One of the passengers who survived told reporters, "The train was moving like a wild animal. I felt the danger and told my wife, hold on to your seat tightly." Authorities said blood tests indicated that the engineer had been drinking before the train derailed on a downward curve, going about 75 miles per hour, twice the speed that was designated for that section of the track. This is another horrendous example of the havoc and sorrow wrought by the merciless, deranging destroyer called alcohol. And suddenly those people were taken into God's eternity. How sudden is death? And God says in His Word tonight, there is but a step between me and death. And perhaps even as I preach tonight, there is but a step between this preacher and eternity. But I'm ready, friend. I'm ready for that step. Let me ask you tonight, are you ready? Die, Abner. Suddenly. It was a sudden end. It was a severe end. I want you to notice that in verse 27. Job took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib. He was smitten. His blood was shed in a most wicked fashion. None of us know what way we shall die or by what means we shall be ushered from the scene of time. This was most unexpected for Abner. Possibly he would have more expected to die in open warfare, bearing in mind the position he occupied. Or by natural causes, but not in this way. You and I do not know what way we will exit from this life. It is quite possible tonight that our end could be a severe end. And many times we've stood with loved ones in the presence of death, and they've said, "I never expected mum or dad to die like this, or my husband, wife, or brother or sister, son or daughter to die like this." And this afternoon I stood in a home where a woman is in the very valley of death, and there the loved ones gathered round the bed, and the woman there in Ballygowan dying with cancer. And I thought about this text. A severe end. As that woman lies in the bed of sickness. And think of those who have died in earthquakes or other natural disasters and plane crashes. Some dreadful fires that have taken place. A severe end. And then I want you to speak tonight, to speak to you further about the fact it was a secret end, because Job took him aside to speak with him quietly, just a quiet word. Abner thought, he wants to ask me something, or warn me about something. But it was all a ploy to get him alone and to kill him. What a subtle move it was by Job against Abner. Job thought he would get revenge on Abner for the death of his brother at his hands. He sought to exact that revenge himself. "I'll get him on his own, then I'll kill him," Job thought. And that's exactly what he did. How many times have we heard and seen reports of a similar fate for so many in this world in which we live? It's almost a daily occurrence on our news bulletins and reading our newspaper. Under the cover of darkness, with great deceit and with great cunning, men and women and young people engaged in their acts of revenge, their murderous deeds. But remember this tonight. Be sure your sin will find you out. Whatever your end may come, understand, friend, that it is a sure end. It's a sure end. There is no escaping the end of our life. The Bible says to you and me tonight, man dieth. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. It is appointed by God. There's no postponing or cancellation that is possible. God says in His Word, "Thou hast appointed my bounds that I cannot pass." Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time to be born and a time to die, an exact time. The precise moment is determined by God. The question is tonight, are you ready? Are you ready, my friend? Have you prepared to meet your God? If not, then could I exhort you to prepare now His end? But I want you to notice, secondly, the expression here, because it says in our text, the question, died Abner as a fool dieth. I want you to notice that expression tonight, as a fool dieth. Let's look at this term fool as it's used here. Fool here means empty person. Did Abner die as an empty person? Oh, the emptiness of the person who dies without Christ. The emptiness of the man or woman, boy or girl, who lives only for this world, who has never experienced God's salvation. And perhaps you're in this service tonight, and that is exactly your state. You're empty. There's a void in your heart. There's a vacuum in your life tonight, because you've never experienced God's salvation. Twice in the Psalms, it is declared in Psalm 14 and 1 and Psalm 53 verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, or as it is in the original Hebrew, the fool has said, no God. You see, the atheist is an empty person. Dawkins, that renowned atheist, and many others of his ilk are empty persons. And multitudes in this world say there is no God and live as if there is no God. Are you one of those empty persons tonight? Many say they believe in God, but they live without God. This is how the Scripture describes the unsaved person. You are without God. You're an empty person. Therefore, you are a fool. How many times have we heard people say, I feel so empty. There's an aching void. The heart needs to be filled. Do you feel empty tonight? All the things that you've tried in this world have failed to fill the emptiness of your heart. Only the Savior can fill that void tonight. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can fill that which is lacking in your heart. Now none but Christ can satisfy. There's another name for me. There's love and life and everlasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Empty without God's salvation. Empty without the glorious satisfaction that is found alone in Christ. Empty without that living water which we need to partake of if we're ever to be satisfied. Never to thirst again. The well of God's salvation is available to you tonight in this service, if you will taste of that well this evening. Remember the woman at the well? She found true satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, Sir, give me this water. And that water was in her, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the emptiness was filled with the fullness of God. And the Bible says in John 1, of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. You're empty without God's salvation. You're empty tonight without the great Savior tonight. He's the only one that can meet the deepest need of your heart. In 2 Samuel 13 and 13, and as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Here's Amnon. He was involved in the defilement of his sister, and this vile, this filthy, sinful behavior showed him to be a fool. He was an empty soul. Empty in his sin. You're empty in your sin tonight. That's how it is with you tonight in this service. Empty. Seeking fulfillment, but finding no fulfillment in this world, remaining dissatisfied. This man's sin found him out, and your sin will find you out.
Empty in your sin.
Empty in a situation. In Jeremiah chapter 17:11, it says, as a partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be as a fool. Are you empty tonight? Is your end going to be as the fool? Well, that Christ would come to your soul just now and fill that void and that vacuum in your life and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, that that might happen to you tonight. Even now in this meeting, that God might come into your life and change you by His mighty power and save you by His sovereign grace. Yes, of course, we notice the expression here. But I want you to see, thirdly, the entrance. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Where was he? He was at the gates of Hebron, one of the cities of refuge, where the manslayer can flee to and be safe. He was on the threshold of the city where he would be safe. Like so many who are near the kingdom of God tonight, but aren't in it. Almost persuaded to be a Christian, but not altogether. As the hymn puts it, almost but lost. Oh, what a tragedy it would be for you to be almost but lost. So many are nearly there as far as salvation is concerned, but alas, they've not gone over the threshold into the kingdom of God. They're not yet saved. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And maybe you've been attending the means of grace here. In other places, hearing the divine things, and yet you're still not in the gate. You've never entered in. It's not enough to be at the threshold. You must enter in at the door. You must enter in. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. It's the entering in, you see. You need to enter in order to be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. Enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. You need to enter into Christ. It's Christ you need. Not the church. Not the communion feast. Not the sacraments. It's the Lord Jesus Christ you need tonight. Enter into Christ, experience His salvation, know the security of your soul for all eternity. To stay outside on the threshold is to be lost, forever closed up to the wrath and judgment of a sin-hating God. Just a step would have taken Abner in to Hebron, but he didn't take it. And then he was too late. And he was gone. Act before it's too late. Step over the line tonight into God's kingdom. Take Christ as your Savior now and be saved. He could have done something about it, but he didn't. And you could do something about it tonight, about your soul's salvation, about eternity and where you're going to be in God's eternity. You need to do it tonight. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice the expression. You notice also the entrance, but you notice his eternity. It was that of a fool. Died Abner as a fool dieth. He died as a fool dieth. Don't die as the fool dieth, but be wise tonight and consider your latter end. The fool who dies has no hope. He has no hope in life, no hope in death, no hope in God's eternity. All is hopelessness and despair and woe forevermore. What an awful thing it is to be shut up to utter hopelessness. To find oneself in the depths of an eternal hell. He experiences emptiness forever. And forever and forever. The rich man had no hope in hell. He that is filthy will be filthy still. He that is unjust shall be unjust still, the Bible tells us. The fool who dies has no help. No one came to Abner's aid. He died at the hand of Joab. What a sad and tragic end he came to. No one stopped the flow of blood. No one lifted his head up. No one could help him. He was beyond the help of man. And the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, the Bible says in Luke 16. No one could help him now. There was no help for him in hell. He was beyond relief or beyond release. He was forever condemned to a Christless and undone eternity. The fool who dies has no help and no hope. The fool who dies has no happiness. He dies in misery and despair. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Will you die empty tonight? If you do, as a fool, there's no happiness for you. You'll find yourself in unhappiness forever. The rich man wasn't happy in hell. He was distinctly unhappy. Bible tells us that in Luke 16. Don't get the idea that hell is one big party from beginning to end. The opposite is the truth. I ask you, is the rich man enjoying himself in hell? No, not at all. He's in agony forever. And he will never cease to be in agony. Because hell is endless punishment, my friend. This Bible teaches that. Endless punishment. Eternal punishment. And that is what facing you, man, woman, and young person is meeting. If you die in your sin, you are facing an eternal hell. The everlasting judgment of God upon your soul. It is said of the celebrated Caesar of Goa that in his last moments he exclaimed, I have provided in the course of my life for everything except death. And now, alas, I am to die, although entirely unprepared. Providing for everything in life except death. And dying unprepared, is that you, friend? There are some people even plan their funeral, but they've never prepared for their eternity beyond that. And you could plan your funeral and pay for your funeral and pay for your grave, but friend, if you're not prepared to go beyond this life, there's no happiness for you. Voltaire the atheist said as he died, I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell, O Christ, O Jesus Christ. That's what he said at the end of his life. And he denied the gospel. And he denied Christ. Charles the Ninth, King of France, said, what blood, what murders, what evil counsels have I followed? I am lost, I see it well. And as he died, he cried out, he was lost. And I urge you tonight in this meeting, in this church tonight, don't die as a fool, but come tonight and seek God's mercy and pardon through the precious blood of Christ. For thank God there's available through the crosswork of Calvary cleansing and healing for all who will wash in that life-giving flood. There is perfect deliverance and joy to be had in this world through the blood. Don't go on the way you're going tonight, but come now and see and seek Christ and His pardon purchased for you in Calvary. Died Abner as a fool dieth. And I call upon you now to seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. May the Lord apply His word to our hearts tonight. Let us pray. Father, we pray that indelibly Thou wilt write upon the fleshy tables of every heart the holy truth of Thy word. And Lord, may it be, O God, a saving word tonight to some poor soul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.